Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for January 14, 2013. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, customers of failed MF Global are likely to see increased payments. We'll have that in other stories. Todd Gleason will be by with University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good to discuss soybean futures. And the folks from Chesapeake Energy will have the latest on agricultural weather. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Here are your last trades and settlements for this Monday afternoon in Kansas City March wheat. Last trades here, 824.5, up 17.5. July, 840.5, up 15.75. At the Chicago Board of Trade, settlements in the wheat pit, March, 767, up 12.25. July, 777, up 10. Last trades in the corn pit, March, 723.75, up 15. July, 714, up 15.25. December, 584.5, up 7.5. January soybeans went off the board at noon at 14.59.75, up 35. Last trades in the rest of the soybean pit bids, your March at 14.16.5, up 43.25. July, 13.99.25, up 41.75. November, 12.88.25, up 22. January soybean meal went off the board at 4.17.90, up 14.80. March, 4.16.50, up 12.20. January soybean oil off the board at 50.17, up 1.29. March, 50.40, up 1.16. And February live cattle at 130.30 is down 30. And those are your last trades and settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Linder's weather highlights, he says Argentina will see restricted amounts of rain during the coming week, limiting rainfall in key grain, oilseed, and cotton-producing areas. The environment will lead to net drying. Far southern Brazil will see net drying this week as well, and possibly next week also. Northeastern Brazil will see rain over the next 2 weeks. Drought conditions will slowly abate, and soil moisture improvements will evolve over time. Frequent rain in center-south through center-west Brazil this coming week and into next week will induce some early season crop maturation and harvest delays. No significant precipitation is likely in U.S. hard red winter wheat country this week, and precipitation potentials for next week are rather benign as well. Bouts of bitter cold air will reach into the far northern U.S. plains and uppermost Midwest at times during the coming week.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Risk on today, huh?
Yeah, we saw quite a bit of buying interest come in from about 8:30 on to really give the market some boost. Going into midday, the guys estimated the funds bought over 9,000 contracts of corn, about 4,000 wheat, 10,000 contracts of beans, 3,000 meal, and about 5,000 contracts of bean oil, which is a pretty good day on the buy side. You know, when you look at sort of the fundamental picture and the technical picture, you can sort of see why the interest is back there, again, to get some ownership back on, Dave.
And how long will this ownership last?
Well, probably till tomorrow. Tomorrow's turnaround Tuesday. There might be some disaster in the world that give us reason to correct some. But if you believe in the cycle counts and the momentum indicators, this turn here, these lows we saw here last week should hopefully hold here for at least 2 to 3 weeks. Not to say we can go down 2 or 3 cents every day, but when you look at the chart, we are halfway back up to the high in the corn. We've been back there November 28th, almost halfway back up to the high here in the beans that we recorded here around December 17th. So we're looking at a little bit of resistance coming in here. It'd be healthy if we could see a little correction here over the next day or two to sort of alleviate the short-term overbought status here and sort of confirm the breakout and try to grind sideways to higher here. And that's, you know, as a producer, that's what we want to see here, at least going into February here, is a lot of these crop insurance policies are determined off the average price of February.
Well, you seem to be in the camp that we will grind sideways to higher and perhaps punch out. If you look at the March to contract right now, we're getting stopped out in a resistance level at the 100-day moving average. We punch a number like that out. Do you think that we could even challenge the top of the channel that we've seen so many times around 767?
I'm not quite that bullish. I think we've got to take one step at a time. The green line has crossed the red line, and ownership needs to be put on. But in order to go up that level or higher, we're going to have to see a continued extended dry pattern in the southern hemisphere. We're going to have to continue to see Asia come forward and get some ownership back on the books here. So there's several things that need to fall in place, which can give reason to go up to those downtrend lines or channel lines or some higher resistance level. I like to take sort of one step at a time. If you turn back the calendar machine here and go back a week ago, most anyone that was optimistic or needing to sell something would have given anything to see a move like we've seen here in the last two trading days. So the trade was not interested in ownership of the grains going into year end and even the first week of trade here. Now all of a sudden that interest is back in, so I think we need to keep an eye on that and take advantage of it on an upward move here, Dave.
So we're halfway in the corn chart to 767. Over in the soybean chart, we're halfway to a move that would put you around $15, $15.01. If you had to make a pick of one, which is the one that's more likely to have legs, and why?
Well, two different markets, and it's kind of, I think they're both going to take turns of being bullish and bearish. The bean market, is going to be heavily traded on news out of the southern hemisphere, and also news out of demand out of Asia. Those are going to be the two driving forces in the bean complex. Whereas corn is sort of a dead dog here. We've got an extremely tight situation, but yet the export demand for corn has virtually gone to almost zero. So we're in a situation where if corn's going to move higher here, we're going to have to see some renewed export interest in corn. And also, too, we're going to need to keep an eye on the weather here. If this weather remains somewhat calm here this winter. We don't see a real cold blast take place. Ideas are feed use could be on the light side this winter here. And even in corn, we've got a bullish old crop situation and a bearish new crop situation. When you look at the supply-demand balance sheet, old crop stocks are going to stay at pipeline levels. I don't foresee a huge sell-off in old corn. The fact that there is some demand out there domestically, and that's going to provide support to corn. Whereas new crop, the fear is if we go ahead and have plenty of acres, and if the weather cooperates, we could push that carryout number sharply higher on new crop corn as we go into the new crop year.
Could be that wheat is the sleeping giant in the shorter term, though.
Well, you're correct, because if you look at the big picture, when we had the short corn crop, a lot of users switched over to wheat. A lot of feed wheat was around. That feed wheat is gone. And even though wheat is raised in every country of the world, we're not seeing ideal conditions again in this wheat growing region. So as we move into spring, wheat's going to be really dependent on the weather. The potential there is have a big wheat crop, especially domestic in the eastern belt. We saw confirmation. We have a lot more soft red winter wheat acres here in the east. So, but, you know, the western belt still remains questionable with their weather. And if weather's not ideal, wheat could be the next market here after the bean market here this winter.
And if you want to be long and you don't like wheat, maybe you'd like livestock.
There's a little bit for everybody
out
there. And we're going to have an outlook meeting with Hightower and Steve Free tomorrow night over here in Normal. And they're going to give us all kinds of outlook on all these different commodities. Everybody's more than welcome to stop by.
Where is that meeting if people want to come by?
7 o'clock. Normal West High School on the west side of town there. They do a real good job on different marketing and trading ideas. And I know you have them as guests on your program there every now and then, so feel free to stop by. No reservation required.
And do you like the livestock on the long side?
It's I think the fat market has a lot of support in this 125, 128 level. I believe one can have ownership on there, but once we get in that 130 to 4, 135, that's the upper end there, we're still looking at historically tight numbers. And I know the presentation tomorrow night is going to hint on the idea that this per capita consumption of beef here in the U.S. has no bottom to it. It's just dropped severely, and the beef market is continuing to work on the idea that exports are strong. So as long as we have beef exports strong, and if we can run into some adverse weather this spring here, late winter, early spring, then we feel the beef market's going to run back up towards the 135 area.
One quick other thing before we let you go.
Sure.
What do you got?
On what now?
I said one other quick thing before we let you go. What do you got?
On which?
Your pick.
My pick. I'm with you now.
Ah, yes.
We feel a lot of these markets are in trading ranges. One other thing we like is the crude oil market. We figure the energy market, they're expecting some bigger inventories on the energy. If we see that big inventory come out and crude oil drops back down into this $87, $85 level, we feel to buy or to sell back up towards this $96, $98 level.
Thank you, Kurt.
All right, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
Hi, this is Todd Gleason. Hey, join me January 25th for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. We'll share a little Illinois wine, eat some great Grand Championship pork, hear stories from Paul Cooley, do a little Ag Outlook with Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Steve Freed, and Gary Schnitke, and best of all, dine with Orion Samuelson. Your $100 ticket buys the meal, the show, and a signed copy of the Big O's new book. Even better, the funds raised will support the College of ACES Agricultural Communications and Hospitality Management programs. Register today at willag.org or call 217-333-9355.
In agricultural news, MF Global customers will get increased payments of 93 cents on the dollar, up from 81 cents, according to projections made by a trustee in a court filing. Trustee James Gliddens, who represents customers of the failed firm's brokerage unit, also projected that customers of MF Global's U.S. brokerage who invested overseas would see their payments increase to 47 cents on the dollar, with a potential future payment that would increase their overall recovery of assets to a range of 68 cents to 74 cents on the dollar. Customers of the failed brokerage firm lost cash that they left at the brokerage when MF Global collapsed in October of 2011. Various trustees have been working to recover assets since then. Russia exports of grain fell in the first 6 months of this marketing year because of the poor harvest in 2012 caused by drought. The country exported 12.932 million metric tons of grain between July 1st, the beginning of the current marketing year, and December 31st, compared with 16.909 million metric tons in the corresponding period last year. The ministry said Russia exported 970,000 tons of grain in December. Conagra Foods and Ralcorp Holdings today announced that they have received a no-action letter from the Canadian Competition Bureau, confirming that the Commissioner of Competition does not intend to challenge Conagra Foods' acquisition of Ralcorp. The letter satisfies one of the conditions for the sale to proceed. The transaction remains subject to certain other closing conditions, including approval by Ralcorp's shareholders. Coca-Cola is taking to the airwaves for the first time to address obesity. The Atlanta-based company will begin airing a two-minute commercial in hopes of becoming a stronger voice in intensifying debate over sodas and their impact on public health. The ad notes that weight gain is a result of consuming too many calories of any kind, not just soda. And Eurostat today says that industrial output across the 17 European Union countries that use the euro fell in November. The 0.3% monthly decline was worse than expected and felt across the whole economy. Year-on-year, industrial production in the eurozone was down by 3.7%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It appears soybeans should continue to find support in the market despite the larger production figure USDA released this past Friday. Todd Gleason talked with University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good about the price prospects.
You know, soybeans are very interesting. The USDA did raise the size of the last year's harvest by about 40 million bushels, but December 1 stocks came in about as I expected. They were within 5 million bushels of the number that I had penciled in, which on the surface says that mystery category of seed, feed, and residual use of soybeans was quite large during the first quarter. So stocks were about as they should have been, even though the production number got bigger. And USDA offset most of that larger crop with an increase in expected crush of soybeans during the year and only raised year-ending stock number by 5 million bushels. So I thought, taken together, knowing that the market expected a bigger production number in this report, that this was a kind of a supportive set of reports for soybeans. Not much change in the size of the South American crop, slightly larger in Brazil, a little bit smaller in Argentina. So I think kind of a neutral set of reports for soybeans.
Did they do very much with the export number? Nothing at all, right?
No, they didn't change the export number.
Did that surprise you?
Well, again, it's a case of arithmetic here where we've only got so many soybeans to use and we can only take our ending stock so low, and so have not raised the soybean export projection even though those numbers to date are very large. the expectation continues to be that that export program will dwindle very, very rapidly as South American supplies become available.
Interestingly, they lowered the national average cash price by 5 cents on both ends.
On both ends, and I think that's in recognition, again, that when you look at the average price received for the first 4 months of the marketing year on soybeans, it's just only a bit over $14 a bushel. And so I think in recognition that so much of the crop has already been sold, that it's going to be hard to get a much higher average price for the year based on what's left to sell.
Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Amy Murray of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Amy.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Have the phones begun ringing today on this little increase on the board?
Yeah, we have seen some farmers selling mostly of old crop and mostly smaller quantities, cleaning some stuff up on this rally here, rewarding the market a little bit.
More corn than beans, or?
Actually, more beans than corn today.
More beans than corn today?
Yeah, but a decent amount of corn, too. Like I said, nothing too extreme, a little bit smaller quantities, but we are making some purchases today.
When people talk about new crop sales and contemplate making them, what kind of numbers are they sharing with you where they want to be?
You know, I think everybody's hoping to get a 6 in front of that D13 number. You know, we're not too far away from that now. I'm probably a little bit closer than that at this point. And, you know, 6 and 13 are the magic numbers today. We're sitting at 584 D's futures and 1286 on the no futures. So close enough to keep those within reach.
On the board or cash?
On the board.
So the question is then with this pop, and there's some thinking that we could rally for another couple of weeks in a sideways to slightly higher grind with some setbacks. Does the basis tag along?
You know, I think basis is probably going to be doing some of the work, particularly in the old crop. It's probably not going to do too terribly much in the new crop at this point, not knowing what our supply situation is going to be going forward. But old crop basis levels should remain supportive, especially given at least the local supply out there.
Well, it did appear that when you started to break down that quarterly grain stocks report, you said, my oh my, is Illinois corn and soybean deficient?
Right. No doubt about that. And we've seen, you know, incremental improvements, you know, both in the processor and in the rail markets here. So
at the end of the day, then where are we left? I mean, what kind of rallying potential do you think that basis has over the next 14 days?
Over the next 14 days, I'd say, you know, it's not going to be anything major, but, you know, maybe anywhere in the 2 to 10 cent range, but of positive improvement, I would say. You know, I'm not looking for a 50 cent swing over the next 2 weeks by any means, but we are, you know, coming to terms with the fact that there's not a lot out there.
Your prices then, please.
7.45 January corn, which is 21 above a March. 7.47 for February. 7.49 for March. April, May, 7.53. June, July, 7.44. New crop fall is at 564, Jan 14, 574. Cash beans today, 1437. February, March, 1428. April, May, 1413. June, July, 1407. New crop fall across the scale is at 1261. January, 14 beans at 1273. Cash wheat today at 739 with new crop July delivered to Champaign at 757.
Thank you much, Amy.
Thank you.
That's Amy Murray of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather. It's National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1784, the Continental Congress ratified the Treaty of Paris, officially establishing the independence of the new United States and establishing its borders. Signed in Paris on September 3rd of 1783 and negotiated for the U.S. by John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and John Jay, the agreement between the American colonies and Great Britain ended the American Revolution. In 1861, David Wesson was born. An American chemist, he created Wesson oil early in the 20th century. He experimented with purifying cottonseed oil, developed a system in 1900 to make the pure oil palatable, and formed the Southern Oil Company to market it. Wesson worked from 1901 to 1911 on a process for hydrogenating cottonseed oil. Cottonseed oil was the first vegetable oil used in the U.S. In 1885, Benjamin Silliman Jr. died, an American chemist. His report on the potential uses of crude oil products gave impetus to plans for drilling the first producing oil well in the U.S. in Pennsylvania. He noted its potential use as a lubricant, and he found it capable of withstanding extremely high and low temperatures and able to keep its form after long use. And that's this day in agricultural history. Listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I want to start with Russia today. We don't talk about that too much, but over the weekend, we were seeing some reports that they had frost damage of some percentage of their wheat. What can you tell us?
Well, the coldest temperatures of the winter thus far in Russia actually occurred back several weeks ago in December. That was the time frame that could have caused some winter kill damage to the winter wheat crop. There were areas in the Volgograd down through the Saratov region in southwestern Russia that did not have protective snow cover and did see temperatures drop down to minus 5 to minus 10 degrees Fahrenheit on several mornings. And so since then, there's been some moderation and also an increase in snow cover, but at least the coldest temperatures have already occurred. But we still need to watch things here coming up as there is some more Siberia air around, particularly in northern Russia. And we'll be moving into northern Europe here, Scandinavia. But at this time, it looks like the vast majority of their wheat crop is protected by snow.
Yeah, we were talking about what the ministry was saying, I think reflecting on that event and trying to put an estimate on it. And I think they were saying anywhere between 5 and 25, and quite a spread, if you want.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Take
Which
it for
something
what,
we probably won't, well, as typically the case, it's something right. We won't know until the spring.
I think that's probably right. And well, let's continue with the wheat theme and look in the U.S. wheat crop.
Yeah, still no sign of any significant precip across the plains hard red winter wheat belt. We did see last week's storm event produce some precip, but not enough to make up the drought conditions, and that continues to be an item of concern here going forward.
Turn your attention then to precip possibilities over the next few weeks.
Yeah, overall here, still no sign of any big storm systems overall drier than normal pattern here continues across the region. While we will be seeing stronger surges of cold down into the central and eastern U.S. now over the next couple of weeks, at this time, no sign of any big storm systems that would accompany them.
Gee, thanks. More cold. Turn your attention to South America, where, generally speaking, things are still pretty good in Brazil.
They do, and if you want to think warm thoughts, yeah, think to South America, where they're in summer mode here, and actually Argentina is seeing some moderate heat across that area, and that looks to continue here, at least another surge of moderate heat expected next week. We're not seeing any extreme temperatures or enough to be of any great concern, but you know, with high temperatures climbing up into the 90s at times, that does raise the risk here of possible yield trimming, albeit from quite good levels to corn and soybeans across Argentina. And well, December was a really good month here. We've trended drier now in January in Argentina. That looks to persist through month's end. And now with this moderate heat at times, that's where this risk is increasing. But again, not a big problem, but certainly some trimming of yields is possible.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's closing market report.
Remember to subscribe to our free Aggie newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. Use the link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.